Dear Brother Bill, when you read the letter of recommendation, you asked for forgiveness for pronunciation, and so do I right now, and lack of vocabulary. But maybe the Lord gives us today some thoughts, some views to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and saying, Teacher, having done what, shall I inherit life eternal? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How read you? But he, answering, said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your understanding, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered right. Do this, and you shall live. But he, desirous of justifying himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus replying said, A certain man descended from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who also, having stripped him and inflicted wounds, went away, leaving him in a half-dead state. And a certain priest happened to go down that way, and seeing him, passed on the opposite side, and in like manner also a Levite, being at the spot, came and looked at him and passed on the opposite side. But a certain Samaritan, journeying, came to him and seeing him and was moved with compassion and came up to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and having put him on his own beast, took him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, as he left, taking out 2 denarii, he gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever you will expend more, I will render to you on my coming back. Which now of these 3 seems to you to have been neighbor of him who fell into the hands of the robbers? And he said, He that showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, Go and do you likewise. So far God's word. The songs and hymns we sang a few moments ago and the hour before has put our sights to the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess that he is our Savior and that he is our Lord. And when we look at him, we will find everything in harmony, in balance, and everything according to the thoughts that God had to according to the mankind itself. When God made man, he made man to give a mirror, a picture of God here on earth. He made him man in the image of God. So everybody who could see, who saw a man, should see God. Then sin came. It was not enough for a man to have the image of God here on earth. He wanted to be like God. And this brought him to fall. Sin entered and mankind was not able to be an image of God anymore. So it had to take for about 4,000 years when there was the Lord Jesus as a new man. He came from earth without sin. And he was the image of God here on earth, a perfect image. He could say, if you see me, you can see the Father. And if we, when we look to John chapter 1, there we find that the Word became flesh. God, the Word, became flesh. And he was able to be a representative and a 100% image of the living and eternal God. Well, he was here, as we remembered, without sin. And when he walked here on earth, people came, several kinds of people, and they had a relation to him, a positive or a negative one. Some of them, they came, they were sinners, and, well, several prostitutes, and they came to him. They said he is a friend of sinners. Normally, light and darkness does not fit. But these guys, these sinners, they realized, here is light of God on the one hand, but there is love of God on the other hand. And so, on the one hand, they were excluded by the light because they were sinners, and they realized it and they knew they were sinners. But on the other hand, they saw they are invited by God's love. And they took this invitation and they said, yes, I come. And so they became friends of the Lord, and the Lord became friend of them. And there was another group that thought they were not sinners. They thought, well, I'm pure. God has to be happy that I'm here. And when such a person comes to the presence of God, he says, oh God, I thank you that. And then a long list. You remember this. I am not so evil as all the other people, especially that one over there. But the other one, he only said these seven words. In German, it's seven words. Oh God, please be gracious to me as a sinner. And he went home and was justified. And the other one stood there in the presence of God, and maybe he was still praising the Lord, or the Almighty and Holy God, how good he was. But he went home with his sins. No justification, no redemption, nothing, no new life. And some of these guys, he came to the Lord in our verse that we read. A certain lawyer. A certain, that means it was a real history. It was a real event that there was a man. He was a lawyer. And a lawyer knows everything about the law. It's his business to know exactly what all the rules are and the laws are. And he has to be able to look exactly at the special situation and to find out what does the law say. And then there has to be a judgment. And this man, he was not happy. He was not happy because he felt, well, my life is going to an end. And usually, as a Jew, God said, if you do not sin, you shall live. But if you sin, you shall not live. And now he sees he is getting older and older, and someday, on some day, there will be his last day. His last breath, and then he is dead. But he wants to live longer and longer and longer. Best would be he would have eternal life on earth. This would be a perfect proof that he had no sin, in the way the Jews thought, according to the Old Testament. But he know in his heart that would not be possible. He will die. Why? Because he was a sinner. But it is one thing to know I'm a sinner, and the other thing is to confess sins and to say not only in common, well, we all are sinners. I am a sinner. And my sin is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. You take the Ten Commandments, you start with the very, very first, and you end with the last one. And then you go to the other chapters in the Old Testament where there are not only in Exodus 20, it is written, these Ten Commandments, or in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and 6, that's written, Ten Commandments. As many commandments as you have fingers at your hands, you can count. That one, does it fit my life with this commandment, yes or no? Half. Okay, and the other one. But if there is only one sin, you are lost. You have to die. The wages of sin is death, the scripture says. So, that's hard for him. And there was this teacher, as he calls him, this man that he may be, he was watching and he was looking at, and he all the time thought, oh, he doesn't say anything evil. He's not aggressive when someone comes and tries to make him angry. And all the time he speaks about God's love, and he takes the children and the people that are sinners, they come and search his presence. Maybe he can give me an answer. And so he comes to him and says, but not in the right mood. He was tempting him. He tried to find out, is there a weak point in this person? Maybe I'm a little bit higher than him. I just have to find his weak point. Teacher, having done what shall I inherit life eternal? What shall I do to get eternal life? No. Inherit means you get something for free because somebody else is dead. And to do something, well, usually I cannot do anything for eternal life. It's a gift because if I look at myself, there is plenty of sin. But he says, what shall I have done? What have I to do? And his platform, where he is thinking and working and living, is do, do, do. You have to do something. The Lord, exactly knowing who is standing in front of him, comes unto this platform and in his level. And he says, what is written in the law? What is written in the law? So this was his area, his room where he lived in. And he should have given the right answer. And he gives a good answer. He says, the Lord says, what is written in the law? How read you? But he, answering, said, "You number one, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your understanding, and your neighbor as yourself." 5 points. And four of these five points are just contacting or referring to the relation between the individual, the person, the man, and the eternal God. And the first is, as the law says, yet that was right, you shall love the Lord your God. You shall love. You shall love. What is love? Many times I ask this question to children and adults, what is love? And most say, well, it's some kind of feeling. That's not bad, but it's only a very short part, very small part of the truth about love. And I don't know whether we really do have a definition somewhere that really fits to the question, what is love? But if we look to the scripture, if we look somewhere else, we can say that love means to look that another person, maybe a thing, is good. That it's feeling good, that it's good for him, he's in a good situation. And it's not only that I'm searching this, but it is that I do everything that this is reality. So if a mother, for example, as a good example, is loving its child, she stands up in the night, all night, once, twice, three times, four times, five times, and she doesn't say it's the sixth time, so now you can weep as much and cry as much you like, I stay here. Mother stands up until she breaks together. Then somebody else has to take care. But the love of a mother shows what love is. And the Lord God himself says, maybe there is a mother who forgets her child. I will never ever forget you. So my love is greater than the love of a mother to her child. But the love of a mother to her child is, it's a very good example for love. So it's not only this, well, I love you, I love here, I love there, I love everywhere, and it's just a word. And if you look to youth today, if a boy says to a girl, I love you, normally he means, I love me and therefore I need you. Well, that's sad, because the results are horrible. This girl really thinks she is loved, and she follows him, and then she sees it's a trap. Well, you shall love God with all your heart. All your heart. Heart is a place of, on the one hand, emotion, on the other hand, of decisions, of relation, well, feeling. And this is the center of our life. And 100% of this heart is not the pump inside for the blood. 100% of this center of life shall be filled with love to God. Not 99, not 90, not 50, all your heart. And then all your soul, all your wishes, the deep wishes inside, they shall, well, shall be oriented to God with all your strength, all. Not 90% for him and 10% for me, for my house, for my career, for my money, for whatever. 100% of my strength to God. And with all your understanding. As a child, you have little understanding. As a grown-up, you have got a good and big understanding. And your understanding is increasing. So love, loving of God is increasing according to the understanding. So 4 points. And if you think about, if we think about these points to our, well, depth to the Lord, that we have to love him with all these 4 parts, we will find that we come short. That this is not reality in our lives. And then he says, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. That's something the law says too, but not in the Ten Commandments. It's written at another page of the Bible. But nevertheless, it is important. And if you look to the Ten Commandments, 4 of these are directed to God and 6 are directed to humans with one another. So the Lord says to him, you have answered right. Do this and you will live. Oof. Well, we have got a word that says, jemand mit seinen eigenen Waffen schlagen. It means that you take the armor of someone and you fight against this person whose armor you have stolen or taken away. And then he is, well, he has lost. So that's what the Lord said to him. Go there. You know it. Do it. So very easy. You asked, what shall I do? Here you've got the answer and you did it yourself. To your own. Now you are a lawyer. You have got the law and then you have got the situation you have to look at and to give your judgment. Oh, this judgment was not good for himself. His judgment showed exactly where the difference is between him and the law. But he wanted to justify himself. That says, well, the law will not justify me. God cannot justify me. So I justify myself. And the weakest point is, in this situation, the neighbor. Who is the neighbor? This is the little gap, the little spot when the door is not shut completely. He tries to get out of the situation. Well, he desiring of justifying himself said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? We know this story, this parable of the Good Samaritan. We know it. I just want to jump over it to the end that we read. Because when the Lord has shown him this history, this what would happen there, yeah, then he listened and he realized that the guy with the law was not the redeemer. He was not the one who was, well, he was not the winner in this situation. There was a Samaritan, one of these guys that did not belong 100% to the Jews, who had another place of worship, and they do not came into, they try to get not in touch with the Samaritans. And when there is a Samaritan, you go at the other side of the street. They are impure, these people, and no, not good. Then the Lord showed him how this man acted, and at the end, the Lord asks him in verse 36. Which now of these 3 seems to you to have been neighbor of him who fell into the hands of the robbers? And this question is not the question I would have asked. And maybe sometimes when we read this, we think something else that's written here. Because you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The question would be, who is the neighbor? Who had been the neighbor of the Samaritan. But that's not what the Lord asks here. He asks exactly the other way around. Who was the Samaritan, who was the neighbor of the man who fell under the robbers? Who was laying there, half dead? Who was the neighbor to this him, to this person? And then the question, whom shall this man who fell under the robbers love now with all his heart, all his everything, strength and understanding and soul. And this changing of position, he understood it and he gave the correct answer. He said, he that showed mercy to him. And so he got the answer. But it was another answer than he thought he would get. Because now, if he translated in our language today, it says, you are the one who fell under the robbers. You are half dead. You cannot do anything. You are just waiting for your death. Sun is burning. I've been to this place in Israel. Sand, stones, heat. That's all. Nothing else. And maybe you are in good health. You are fit in every kind of... Just stay there. Don't move. Take a seat and wait. You will die. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink, just heat. You will get thirst and then will starve for death, maybe, or something else. But it's not a place of life. This is your position, my friend, my lawyer. And now there is a person who comes this way from Jerusalem, the place of the presence of God, to Jericho, the place of hate, the place of death. And in between, he finds you and he takes care of you because he loves you. He shows not only compassion, he shows deep, deep love. Love that means I give everything that I have, that you are in a good position, that you get better, that you are safe, that you get life. So, if you realize who you are, in what position you are, and if you realize who this good Samaritan is and what he's offering you, then take what he's offering to you and then love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your understanding. That was a lesson. We do not know what this lawyer, when he went away, made with this lesson. Whether he thought about it, made the right decision in his heart, confessed his sin, saw himself in this image, in this picture of the man who fell under the robbers, and then took Jesus as his personal savior. We don't know it. But we have sung several songs, and I hope that everyone who sang it, that he or she sang it in the right way, knowing that he was lost and now he's found, was dead, but now he is alive. If anybody is here who did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal good Samaritan, who took care of him and takes care of him, you should stop. You should think about your situation and you should turn. And not only thinking, but speaking, confessing sins. Therefore, you do not need any kind of special situation. You can do it right here. You can do it at home, in your bathroom, in your bedroom, living room, outside, in the car, wherever. There's no special place. There's no special time. But there is a necessity. This time that you come to the Lord Jesus as a lost one, to be saved, this time has to be before he comes again and receives all those who believe in him under himself, that before, that where he is, they shall be also. And that is very, very important. We do not know how many hours we have to live. Old people will die soon. Young people can die soon. And that is something we often forget. Many persons, they were very close to the kingdom of God, very close to this decision, but they decided too late. Better they didn't decide, and then it was too late. But today the Lord is standing there and inviting, come to me. I will no one throw away when he comes to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But beside this, we as Christians, as those who belong to the Lord, we can learn something from these verses in between too. And maybe we just have some minutes to have a look to this. I think it is very important for us to realize what the glasses were that the Lord had on, you understand what I mean, when he told this story. Because the guy who fell under the robbers, into the hand of the robbers, what was he? Who was he? And who are the people around us that are still in this position? If we, for an outreach, we go in the streets and preach the gospel. We give tracts to people, speak with our neighbors, maybe with our classmates or with our colleagues in the job, in the factory, wherever, people in the street. And we talk with them and say, no, I'm not interested in it, forget it. I don't need Jesus. Is he guilty? In some way, he is guilty. But on the other hand, he is one who fell unto robbers. There is someone coming and pressing him. He's not able to decide himself. He's not able to say, well, okay, I go. Maybe there have already been 2, 3, 4 times in his life when he was touched by the gospel. Maybe. And he said no. He will be responsible for this decision. But right now, you cannot always become a believer whenever you like. There are some spots, situations made by the living God where he invites you and you can say, yes, I come. But maybe 10 minutes later, even though you live years longer, but in 10 minutes later after you said no, you cannot just say no, now I say yes. Because then the door is closed for this situation. So it is said, today when you hear his voice, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And this is written 3, 4 times next to one another in Hebrews. We cannot say, well, right now I will do it tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. If today my life is gone, my time is over, there will be no tomorrow 10 o'clock anymore for me. And the devil is sitting there and, well, I succeeded. He has got the responsibility that he decided not to decide today. But on the other side, he's the loser. He's the one under the hand of the robber, the evil one. What is the view that we have to the people around us? Do we see them all as guilty? Or are they weak persons we have to love? If we look to love for us, we can learn from the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that the love of Christ presses us. It says you cannot say, okay, I love the Lord, but people, I don't care. There is no love for the Lord because he loved me. And the love of God is put into my heart, Romans 5 says, by the Holy Spirit. And if I'm really born again, I do have this love in my heart. It is my deep desire to tell the people around, nevertheless, where I am. At least I pray for them if I do not come in contact with them. People are very, well, how do you say, they keep you in distance, you know, with formality or so. You cannot touch them. You cannot go there. Hello, hi, guy. Some scenes, some areas and some people are there. You can talk with them very directly. But in the upper class or upper middle class or so, no. You cannot talk with people like that. In the lower class, yes, there you can go. You can speak with people who are addicted to drugs and so. Very, very, very open. Maybe that's the reason why the Lord was friend of the sinners. They are open. They know exactly who they are. There's no need to tell any curtain over it and say, look how fine I am and so on. You look in their face. Look to their skin, to their hands. You see their feet. And you know where the needs are. You speak with them about the love of the living God who gave his only begotten Son, that everybody who believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And they start to cry. Because nobody ever told them. They are worthless, people tell them. You're a piece of... Forget it. We have to go there to tell the people who they are. That the Lord himself, the Almighty God, became man to search and to save those who are lost. They know that they are lost. Maybe you are looking for people with a tie to reach them to come here. They are similar, like we are equal to us. We have got the same social area. They smell in the same way as we smell, and they behave in the and so on. And you know, we feel okay. But these fellows, these boys and girls, men and women in the street, they smell in another way. They speak another language. They have other deep desires and needs. We have got what they need. And we have to tell them. We have to take care of them, as the Lord did here. Our own beast may be outside there at the parking lot. Are we able, are we ready to take our beast to take care of these people? To bring them in the inn? Are we ready to open our houses, our table, our food to share with them? Are we? The Lord did. And the last thing may be, if we look to verse 34, it spoke to me when I read it. And the Lord, or the Samaritan, came to him, the wounded, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Not wine and oil. Oil and wine, there's a difference. Oil makes the wounds soft, and wine is for disinfection. When we have to take care of sin, usually, or let's say that way, we are in the danger to change the order. First wine, everything has to be clear. Sin has to be pointed out as sin. It has to be adjusted, and then you can put oil on it. First wine, then oil. The Lord did it in the other way. We can learn from him. We experienced it. We got it from him. And so shall we do. Maybe the Lord will help us to learn from him, who is a perfect teacher and a perfect example. May God bless his word.